Well, we're talking about penning the bison in. They are, of course, free to roam on the preserve, but the pens are used how?
We annually round up the bison. We entice them now. We used to drive them with four-wheel drive ATVs, which became a Wild West show, you know, cruising across the prairie 30 miles an hour or more, trying to head off a running herd of buffalo in grass taller than your head with holes and rocks and ditches is not a smart thing to do. That didn't work out very well. Now we entice them with feed trucks. A few weeks before the actual roundup, we'll go out and give them cattle cubes with cattle feeders. It's just like cookies for kids. Instead of trying to drive them, we entice them.
And so Sound a siren, and that tells them lunch is on.
That's how we get them into the corrals now. We get them into a 50-acre holding trap, and then we push them with pickups into the corrals. It's quite an operation.
And you have, what, a couple of square miles up there that you have the entire 2,700-plus animals, didn't it?
That's correct.
For several weeks, because it takes more than 10 days to run them all through.
At full mature growth, how heavy are they?
We sell our bulls before they get to be that big. We sell our bulls now when they're 6.5 years old. A mature bull can weigh over a ton, but the largest one we've had weighed about 1,850 pounds. But that's impressive. That is a lot of buffalo.
Well, as I tell the boys who sometimes used to get too close, that's bigger than an NFL line from tackle to tackle and a hell of a lot faster and meaner.
The bison are there not just for visitors to come to see, but they play some important roles, and let's talk about their impact on plant life.
That's why they're there. The Nature Conservancy claims to be science-based. Everything we do is based upon science principles, and I've found that to be the case. The bison are there because they are the historic grazer that helped shape the prairie. The prairie, in return, shaped the bison. If you go back 12,000 years from now, you wouldn't see this species of bison. You would see an earlier species that was larger. So the bison shaped the prairie, and the prairie shaped the bison. This species of bison that we have now, bison, is about 5,000 years old. But they graze the prairie differently than cattle. They don't hang out in the riparian areas. They don't shade up on hot summer days. They don't usually wade out into the ponds like cattle do in the summertime. Bison are prairie animals. They will be out in the sun. They eat large quantities of grass. A female bison will eat about 30 pounds of dried grass per day. They hardly touch the broadleaf plants. I've seen them eat white prairie clover, but other than that, that's about it. So they're there for the ecological force that they provide to the prairie.
But then they became a tremendous draw for visitors.
A lot of
people come there maybe just to see a bison. Why did I say buffalo?
Well, that's another accepted term.
Okay.
And that goes back to the French confusing these shaggy animals with cattle, and the French word for beef is boeuf.
Okay, good. I'm glad I said it. In the early 19th century, North American bison herds totaled about 30 to 60 million animals, but they were virtually wiped out. Tell us how that came about.
Well, that was a combination of a lot of things. The bison were almost from coast to coast in the continental United States and from Canada down to Mexico. But the greatest concentration of bison was on the Great Plains. They're a Great Plains animal. With westward expansion and exploration came a lot of things. First of all, you had people living here. You had Indian cultures that had developed around the bison. The Sioux, for example, had moved from the Great Lakes region to the Great Plains, and they became bison hunters. A number of Indian nations lived on the bison. They vigorously resisted white settlement.
Because they used the bison
for everything in their life, for food, for religious ornaments, for clothing, for shelter. It was their larder.
It took about 13 to 15 bison hides to make a typical teepee.
So when whites started encroaching into their bison hunting, they resisted. You had everything from sport hunters coming in to market hunters to provide food for the crews that were building the railroads. And then it's not really stated so much in the history books, but the federal government was losing the battle with the Indians. The cavalry was getting whipped, And so I know that they decided that if we want to bring these Indians to the peace table, let's kill their food source. If they're hungry, they're going to come to the reservations. If they're not, they're not going to come. So I think it was an effort by the United States government to help subdue the Indian tribes.
A lot of the bison were killed because buffalo robes were very important in an age when people were still in carriages and buggies in the northern states. They often killed the bison simply for the tongue or maybe a bit of the hump, let all the other meat rot, and they killed it for bones. There are pictures of men standing on top of piles of bison bones 60 feet high, waiting for railroads to come by, put the bones in freight cars, and take it east to turn it into fertilizer. Trains would come through, and there'd be bison on both sides of the trains. People would be at the windows blazing away with rifles. It wasn't sport. Bison do not spook easily. So a professional buffalo hunter could set up his perch and shoot one animal after another until he had gotten all that he planned to kill. Buffalo Bill, of course, got his name for killing bison for the railroad crews. It was just indiscriminate slaughter.
So then the population shrunk to, I believe, just over 500 in the United States, 550 in Canada. That's all we had left.
That was it.
And today the population is estimated overall to what?
In the continental United States, it's over 500,000.
There's still some bison in Europe, too. Maybe 3,000 tucked away in Belarus and Poland. But that's the European bison, one of three species. Bob Hamilton will claim that the ones we have are actually bison, 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 when you break it down into a third subspecies.
The original gift was 300 animals from Kenneth Adams.
Right.
And so now the herd is 2,700?
Yes.
They live off the land. Do they receive all their nutritional needs off the land, or is there some supplementation that has to go on?
They basically receive everything they need from the prairie, and that's what happened for thousands of years. I had one fellow ask me right after the bison were reintroduced, a local rancher said, "I hear you're not feeding your bison in the wintertime." I said, "Well, you're right." He said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Well, do you think the Indians fed them?" Historically, I mean, they live off the prairie. They get everything they need from the prairie.
Salt licks is the one thing.
But we've changed that. There for a while, we were giving them salt and mineral as a supplement just in case they needed it. But we've discontinued that. We haven't done that for the last year or so.
They can withstand the heat of Oklahoma to the cold, which is not as extreme as, say, North Dakota, but it is extreme, and it doesn't bother them either way.
Dr. Jim Shaw from Oklahoma State University said once that bison do not become stressed from cold. That's stressed. That's not dead. That's stressed until it's a minus 43 Fahrenheit. They're descendants of Pleistocene animals. They can tolerate extremely cold temperatures. Cattle, on the other hand, will not live through the winters we often have here without being cared for, without being fed supplemental feed. You don't have to do that with the bison. They get along just fine out on the prairie.
Now, there are few pure bison, I believe. The cattle genes and the bison genes have mixed.
That's correct.
Where would we find pure bison today?
The only herd that's considered genetically pure is the herd in Yellowstone. You've got to remember, the bison basically were saved from extinction by ranchers. One of the most famous is Charles Goodnight. But they didn't do it just for science purposes. They did it in part to try to cross bison with cattle to produce a hardier range animal that wouldn't require so much care in the winter and could get by without supplemental feeding. That experiment really didn't work. But that's where basically the cattle genes intergressed into the bison gene pool.
But you have eliminated the cattle genes in our herd.
We have eliminated those that have cattle mitochondrial DNA. And that is the DNA that drives the animal. You've got two kinds of DNA. You've got the mitochondrial DNA and the nuclear DNA. We have removed all the bison from the tallgrass prairie that had mitochondrial cattle DNA.
Are there any characteristics of the bison that have cattle genes that have been diminished as a result of the cattle genes, comparing them to the pure bison?
I can't tell them apart. My untrained eye cannot distinguish.
Their strength of tolerating everything did not diminish with cattle genes.
No, it didn't.
They will say that even ones that had some cattle genes in them were 99.99% bison. And it's the old thing, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck,